I want to thank Pastor Kendall. He asked me if I can preach, and I said this week is the only week, and the next one will be in May. So I said I can come this week, and then so he just let me come. I want to talk to you about Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read that verse. Before we start, let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this morning, for the songs we sing, for the testimony that we listen, and you are great indeed. You have provided us the redemption, the salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ, that however we were and whoever we were, we can come and be renewed and be changed in Christ into a new person. For that, we want to thank you, and we continue to ask you to open our heart to your word and continue to renew us with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope everything, I was hoping that everything will be perfect. In a perfect world, I will have bring my jacket, my pharmacy jacket, but on the way to the church, I said, oh no, I forgot. It would be from 7 years ago. My jacket, I look at it, is SS. That means small of the small. And I can hardly wear it, but I can still fit in with some struggle. But that would be my jacket, white jacket, and then my pharmacy logo here. I work for the pharmacy in the community pharmacy. If you go to see the doctor and go and get prescription, I will be the one who greet you and then fill your prescription, and then the promise is 5 minutes, but you always get into like 1 hour or 2 hours and before you get your prescription. Those are pharmacists, and I was one of them. So when I was still a pharmacist in training, I went to the hospital. It was in Omaha, Creighton University Hospital. At that time, I was paired up with another medical student, medical doctor in training. And we were looking at the chart of a patient. And that patient was diagnosed with diabetes. Do you know anything about diabetes? Diabetes means that you have high level of sugar in your system that your body cannot process. Not necessarily for those people who eat too much candy, that's not necessarily true, but they have too high level of a sugar that they cannot process. And that both of us were looking at that chart, and the medicals, doctor in training or students, he was scratching his head and he kept trying to figure out what's wrong with this patient, and why is she not responding the way he tried to treat him. So I look at the chart. Pharmacists also train in the fundamental diagnosis and things like that. We don't learn too much about anatomy or biology, but we know some of it, and we also know the diagnosis criteria for every illness. So when I look at it, I don't see a test that was done for diabetes. So being a pharmacy students, I'm not at the level of the medical students, so I shouldn't challenge their diagnosis, but I just hint the person and said, are you sure this person is a diabetic and has diabetes, she's a diabetic? And the doctor in training insists that she's a diabetic. So, but I don't know what happened, but from what I learned, she has not been properly diagnosed, but she is being treated as a diabetic. So that's the problem. So when you go to a hospital, to a clinic, The first most important thing is diagnosis. You have to diagnose a person properly. Otherwise, there's no need for treatment at all. So today, I'm going to look at this topic, the root of ungratefulness and where it leads to. I'm going to use this. If you see, this is a problem, this is a symptom, and this is diagnosis, this is prognosis. Do you know what prognosis is? This is a term we use in medical area. It means a progression of the illness. Whether it, if you treat it, the prognosis will be good. If you don't treat it, the prognosis will go worse. So this is prognosis. And then cure, we don't actually use cure, we use treatment now. But for this, we will look at the ungratefulness in this. This is how we are going to discuss it, okay? Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 20 to 32. If you need a Bible, we have Bible here. Oh, yeah. You can have Chinese Bible too if you want. Yeah, yeah. Oh, English. More, yes, more. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 20. To 32. We'd like to read it together in Chinese church, so let's do that. Verse 20 to 32. Ready? For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived as creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For though they knew God, who did not honor him, claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanging the glory of immortal God for image rearing. All right, let's stop here. So far we have read that there is, verse 20 says, there is God and man, human knows it, people knows it in their hearts. Whether they want to argue against it or they want to deny it, they deep down in their heart, they know it. That's what the verse 20 says. And then 21 says, they decided to deny God. And here you come, verse 21, their thinking become futile. Verse 22, they claiming to be wise, they become fools. And verse 23, exchanging the glory of God to the image of the mortal man. Let's continue, verse 24 to 25. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here's the first section where it says God gave them up. The next one is 26 to 27. For this reason, let's read together. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passion, for their woman exchanged natural relations for those that are to the nature. And the man likewise gave up natural relations, was consumed with the passion of one another, men committing shameless act. And then verse 28 to the end is the third section where it says God gave them up. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice.
They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness.
They are gossips,
slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, rudderless.
Though they know God's
righteousness, those who carry such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
All right. So, the problem we're looking at is ungratefulness. What do you think the symptoms for ungratefulness is? Let me show you this in Chinese and in English. This person received a gift and it says, "You are so good to me, O Lord." And then all of a sudden, another person passed him by and with a bigger gift. And what does he say? "You are so unfair." What is this? Is he being truly grateful for the gift? Not really. Right? He get angry once he found out that other people have greater gift. So what is the symptoms of ungratefulness? What? Jealousy. Yeah, envy. How about this one? When good things happen to other people, it says, "Why is God so good to him?" That's envy. Are you able to anything? Any other symptoms you can tell? Here it says you can't be grateful for what you feel entitled to. When you feel entitled to something, you won't be grateful, right? When you wake up this morning, someone prepared breakfast for you on the table, and you smelled it and you said, "This is not what I want." You think, and then at that time you feel like you're entitled to a better food, but actually you are not. Okay, we are not entitled to anything, but when we feel entitled to something, we don't feel grateful at all for the things that we have. Any other symptoms that you sign or symptoms that you can tell someone is not grateful?
Greedy?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. If you want more, anything else? How can you tell someone is not being, other than "I'm not thankful"? Other than he's saying "I'm not thankful," how can you tell a person is not being grateful? Greedy is the one. Angry. Okay, and not necessary, but angry can reflect an issue of ungratefulness. Sometimes something else, but it's part of the symptoms. The problem with the symptom is you have to figure out what causes it, and anger can be one of the symptoms. What would be the one that you, when you hear it most? Almost immediately, you think about that person is not being grateful.
Complain.
Okay. Yeah, grumbling, complain. That's the one. Yeah. And I want to go ahead. What is diagnosis for this? When you see someone is not grateful, the passage that we just read. "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine natures, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him." What is the source? What is the reason for a person not being grateful? According to the passage here. If you read Book of Romans before, you read it again and read it from an angle of how to be a thankful person, you realize Romans chapter 1 begins with a person who do not give thanks. And the person who do not give thanks, the problem is they do not, even though they know God, they do not honor Him. They do not treat God as God. That started the whole problem with not giving thanks. So ultimately, all the ungratefulness we have among the people, your friend, family, it all started from when we do not honor God as God and do not give thanks to God. I want to spend a lot of time on this prognosis because this is what the passage is mainly about. What happens if one is not thankful? And how does this so-called sin or illness progress as the time goes? First of all, verse 21 to 23 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God and give thanks to Him, and they become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Claiming to be wise, they become fools and exchanging the glory of the immortal gods for image resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things." The first thing here is their thinking become futile. Second, they're claiming to be wise, they become fool. And then the third one would be they exchange the glory of God with the image of man. Thinking become futile, hearts become darkened. You know what this is? Have you learned this before? Here is an earth and then planet peri-orbiting the earth. And then what is epicycle? Epicycle is the this is the planet. This is not a planet, okay? This is just a center of something. This is a planet. Epicycle means this planet is revolving this point that has nothing there, but just revolving like this while it is moving around the earth. Okay? What am I talking about this? This is a map of the universe where you see the center of the universe is the earth, and here is the sun, and this is very complicated map, right? When you don't put sun as the center of your solar system, you put earth and thinking that everything are revolving around the earth, and you watch the sky, night sky, and then you calculate how the star move, and then people start thinking that they need to explain how everything works when it revolving, orbiting around the earth. Then they come up with this, because there is not straight line. So in order to explain why some star come move this way and then all of a sudden, a few nights, it will move back a little and then move again, and they come up with this theory. This whole map is a very messy, complicated map. What I'm trying to say is, I want to use this illustration to tell you, if we don't put God in the center of the universe, you want to try to explain everything else going on around you, then the whole thing will be a very messy map. That's why it says, your thinking become futile. It's not clear anymore. God is the very essence of this, why this universe exists, and a very center of everything else. And if you try to put God away, try to explain why human beings have more morality. That will be very difficult to explain. Why we want to respect each other while we don't if there's no God. And you find out that the whole thinking becomes futile. You try to explain it, you just see no way out. And then your heart becomes darkened. just like this map. It's just a mess there. So if you want to put God away from the center, and then you want to leave human as the center, and you try to explain everything that is going on around you, then everything will become very unclear. This is how it started. It first started with man decided not to honor God as God. As once you put that piece away, then everything becomes darkened. You have no way to explain everything else. But we try to. And what's the next step? When you your mind becomes futile, the next thing is not that human realize, oh, we cannot explain everything else. So we must need to go back to the Creator. No. The next step is they claim themselves to be wise. The next step would be men try to claim themselves to be wise. And they become fools. And this is how the world is. If you go out, people will think they are wise because they don't believe in God. And they try to treat the Bible-believing Christian as a fool instead. So they think of us as a fool. And they claim themselves to be wise, but at the end, they themselves become a fool. I want to use two examples. I think I can make it. All right, the irony of feminist movement. Now, I'm not against respecting women. I'm just saying that when you try to put God away and you try to resolve men and women issue without God, it comes out making yourself as a fool. Alright? This is an article written by a student in University of San Diego. So it's not me who wrote this. It says, in their mission to champion women, feminists decided that being male is the ideal. You see the irony? You know, the feminist movement, the whole thing, it would be that we women want to be just like men. Right? So instead of, this is the irony. Women now liberated. No longer must we judge solely by the children we bear. Now we can find satisfaction outside the home, in the fulfilling career, and have a lot of free and attached sex. Some people find this sentimental to be beautiful and encouraging. Personally, I am troubled by them because they measure women's success according to male standards. Why are you laughing? You don't agree? Right. I can tell you the author, you can contact her. Women and men are equal in that both sexes are human and therefore deserving of freedom and respect. But we are also different inherently. So, elsewhere, abortion could not be considered as a woman's issue. Right? Do you understand this sentence? It says, we are inherently different. Otherwise, it's not just women need abortion. Men also need abortion, but men don't. Right? So there is an inherently, there is a difference. Right? If indeed abortion is the only a female issue, then it is it so? Because it affects a woman's health. Or maybe it has more to do with the fact that women are uniquely created or evolved to be capable of bearing children. Now I can pretty much tell that this author of this student is a Christian or not, at least she has a religion. This is something women can do that men cannot. Alright. So, what does it end up to be? It end up to be that feminist movement try to promote the value of women by devaluing the value of the uniqueness of the woman and want to make themselves become men. Right? They think that whatever man does, they want to do. And they even, that's the problem when society keeps God away and they try to find a solution to their own value, you find out that they're contradicting themselves. The irony of freedoms. What's the irony of freedoms? Have you heard that New York and Virginia's issue recently? No? They approve abortion up to a point what? Up to the point of birth. And Virginia government even said that if by accident the child was born in the process of abortion, then the doctor can just keep the baby comfortable and then the parent decide whether they want to kill the baby. That would be legal. Even then, up to that point. Why do they do that? They want to give parents freedom, right? They want to give the woman freedom to not have a baby. Why do they have that? The thought process would be something like this. Men have free sex and they don't have to care about anything else. A woman can have free sex, but they have to worry about the baby. So once they have baby, they should be have freedom to kill the baby because they want to be just like men, can be carefree, not worry about the baby. So the irony of the freedom is that when you promote this kind of freedom, you want to have freedom to enjoy life, then you would have the freedom to destroy another person's freedom to have life. So this is how men, when they put God away, try to solve the issue of freedom. It becomes a very ironic thing. If everybody is free, nobody is free. You understand that part? If everybody is free on the highway, on the road, to do whatever you want, nobody is free anymore. You understand that? If you drive on the road, you see a red light, everybody is free to drive through the red light and not stop. And the other person won't have any freedom to drive anywhere. They have to stop. Everybody have to stop and find out to make sure that the other person is not just drive through. And then you do. So this is how it becomes when men put away God, deny God, the whole thing become very meaningless. And then they claim themselves to be wise. They want to solve the issue of freedom. They want to solve the issue of the women's dignity, and everything become a mess. And they make a mess of themselves, and we make a mess of ourselves, and we become fools. What is the third part? Verse 23, and exchange the glory of the immortal gods for images resembling mortal men, birds, and animals, and creepy things. Okay. Tim Keller is another pastor. He says, we all worship something, whether you're religious or non-religious. We all worship something. What does that mean? That means if we don't worship God, we worship something else. If God is not the one we worship something else that is less than God, right? So what does, other than God, what else is there? Other than Creator, what else is there? The creation, a creature. So instead of worshiping God, they worship man. Or instead of worshiping an immortal things, they worship a mortal things. My question would be, why would you worship something that is less than God? That's the issue. That's the question. Why would you allow yourself to devalue yourself and to humiliate yourself to worship something that is less than God? As you can see later, we're going to continue. When you dishonor God and not worshiping God, you dishonor yourself. Because you make yourself worship something that is less of a value. Right? If you can buy a really good, exceptional car, why would you buy a lesser car than that? If you can worship God, why would you want to worship something less than God? And you, by doing that, you dishonor yourself. By doing that, you give yourself to something less, have less value. People, they say junk in, junk out. So you put junk into your life, you will have junk in your life. But if you put God in your life, then you have the honor of God, the glory of God in your life. So continue, we are not done. It keep progressing. On verse 24, 25, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring. You remember this word? Earlier it says, man, the issue with the man is that they do not honor God as God. When they do not honor God as God, they start dishonoring their own body among themselves. Because they exchange the truth of about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So what does man do is that they give themselves into impure sexual lust. At first they dishonor God. What result from that is that they dishonor themselves, their body, and they exchange the truth with a lie, and they serve creatures, and they don't serve Creator. Let's talk about sexual thing. Hebrews chapter 13 and 4, verse 4. Let us read together. I want to keep you awake. Let marriage
be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God judges as it is
good. All right, here is the verse. I get from time to time. I have people ask me. These are like college students, or graduate students, and they ask me, "Is what's wrong with having sex outside of marriage? Why is it so wrong? Where does the Bible say that?" So here is the verse: "Let marriage be held in honor." Look at this honor again. If you honor God, your marriage will be honored among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. What does that mean? Marriage bed. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. That means if your sex is outside of this marriage bed, it's called immoral and adulterous. This is what this verse says. And a lot of people say, what's the big deal as long as we are in love? This is what people say. And I think this is the wrong question. Because why do you allow yourself to ask this question? The right question is, isn't love a big deal? If it is not a big deal, then don't do it. If it is a big deal, then do it the right way. The way that God designed it to be. That would be the right questions. This is not, don't ever ask this question, because this is not the right questions. If love is really a good thing, then do it God's way, right? you want to put God in your life so that things is not complicated. Things are not complicated. Now, as we see it progresses from futility to thinking that I'm wise, actually it's a fool, and then it's changed God with a man, an immortal to a mortal, and then it progress from there to be a impure sexual lust, and the next thing is verse 26 to 27. For this reason, God gave them up to his dishonorable passion, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with men or women, and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men. Now I know some people out there try to argue what natural means. They will say something like this: my natural inclination, let's say I'm a man, right now my natural inclination, I'm born with it, I like another man. This is man natural. But this is not what the verse says here. It clearly defines what natural means. It means the natural in terms of biological. Man naturally should have relations, means sexual relations, with woman and love relation with woman, but was consumed with passion. This passion is a dishonorable passion, and men committing sinless act with men. It's become dishonorable passion. You give yourself to a dishonorable passion. When you dishonor God, you dishonor your body, now your whole passion becomes dishonored. And this is how Romans chapter 1, 2000 years ago, Paul wrote this, how sins evolve. And you can see when man society put away God, then everything evolves just like what the Bible says. Now, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. This is clear enough. It is an abomination. There's nothing gray in gray area in this verse. And to First Corinthians chapter 6, or do you not know that unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, nor men who practice homosexual, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, and nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And Paul wrote to Corinthians and tell them that some of you were like this, and it is, you have been changed. And what is the next one? They did not see fit to acknowledge God, so that God gave them up to debased mind, to do what ought not to be done. They're filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, and they're full of envy and so and so. And at the end, verse 31, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. So how does it evolve? They evolve from a futile mind to their thinking themselves are being wise, and they exchange God's glory with man's glory, and then they dwell in this sexual lust pleasure, and they come to a point where that's not enough. They want to do this homosexual thing, and then at the end, anything goes. This is what the last passage, anything goes. Alright. It includes foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. That means without wisdom, without faithfulness without heart and without mercy. This is how it becomes true. There is no faithfulness anymore. Not just faithfulness to God, but faithfulness to in the marriage, faithfulness in friendship. There's no more faithfulness you can find. And then there's no more heart. Everything is not from your heart. You don't do it, and you're just out of pressure, pleasure. You don't put thoughts and care into it. That's why marriage becomes nothing anymore. And then people don't feel like they want to get married. They just want to live together. There's no heart involved anymore. And you think this is love? This is no mercy. The society that promotes love and tolerance, look down at Christians, at the end, they are the one who kill themselves with abortion. They are the one who push people away and push everyone that do not agree with them. They just put them away, put them aside. It's not a society of mercy. It's without mercy. This is how it evolved too. So what is... Though there are no God's righteous decree, and that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. This is where we are in society right now. If you don't do the things that people do, you will be under a lot of pressure. In school, at work, in anything in the society. Pretty soon, they haven't come to Chinese church yet, but they have come to a lot of other churches that pastors are not allowed to say things like what the Bible teach about homosexual, what the Bible teach about sexual life, and what the Bible teach about anything, right? They only give approval to those who practice the same thing. This is where we are. So what's the cure? What's the cure for all this? What's the cure of all this mess? What do?
Put God in the
center. You put God in the center, right? Like this. This is much better. But this is not good enough. You put God in the center, like this sun, but if you insist that your orbit is perfect circle, you'll still find out this discrepancy. You still have to do these epicycle things on your map because it doesn't go the way you want it to. Even if you put God in your center of your life, but if you don't do it His way, you just use your idea of running your Christian life, you still have a lot of problems. This will be like a lot of us when we become Christians, a lot of your parents, including my children's parents. We insist on doing our own way. You still have a lot of messy things you have to deal with. You have to do what? You have to be like this, right? Put God in the center and let God tell us what the route is like, not the perfect circle that we want it to be. And this is why we have to read Bible. We don't just, I trust in God and then use my idea of God and live my own life. That is not going to happen. And you will find out that even Christians who believe in God and not carefully understanding what God says in the Bible and just live the way with an idea that we have a God and then live the way, the life like that, you still have a lot of confusion and you have a lot of trouble. You have to have God in the center and let the Word of God define your path. Then all of a sudden, the whole life becomes a clearly described map. So what's the cure? It's the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel, it says that for all that have sinned fall short of the glory of God, then we are justified by His grace as a gift through redemption of that is in Jesus Christ. So Jesus come and want to restore the relationship between us and God. And the salvation is that we confess our mouth with that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. This is why gospel is at the center of everything. You have to come back to God and say, God, I want you to be my God. And how can you do that? You need the redemption, salvation of Jesus Christ to forgive your sin before you can do that. To restore your relationship with God, you need the salvation. With the salvation of Jesus Christ, you come back and you just don't, it's not enough to say that you are, I want to believe in God, I want to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to live for him. Because the whole mess started with we not honoring God. You don't just come back to God and say, all right, I want to restore the relationship with you, and then, but I still don't honor you as God. So as a Christian who do not honor God, we committing the same problem that created the whole mess in the beginning. So how to restore? In chapter 11, 36 says, For him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. This is what we need to recognize. Everything comes from him. Everything comes through him. Everything we have to give back to him. And we want to give glory to him forever. This is why it's so important. It's not just sexual sin. It's not just homosexual. It's not just a lot of unwise things to do, but it comes from the heart that is not grateful for God, do not honor God as God. So the gospel itself is to help us to go back and honor the God that we're supposed to honor. So from this, let God be God, and we don't let God be God thing, it evolves into a lot of different problems. That's why we say, regardless what sin, it ultimately comes from a person who do not honor God as God. Some sin are more serious than the other, but they all come from the same root, same problem, and we all need Christ, the gospel of Christ, to restore us. I hope you understand this. I hope you can start to see this as the society evolves. This is not something new. Bible already talked about it. It just reveal in front of you, in the school, in the society, exactly as what Romans chapter 1 has already said. We are just in the progress. We are almost to the end of this. The last verse. Now they try to make into laws and the things that they want us to do that we refuse to do because what the Bible teaches us. So we are almost there. So pray about it, and the only thing that can save you now is to turn to God, turn to Christ, and ask God to help you. He has already sent his son to die on the cross. It means that he cares about us. He wanted to save us. And we need to turn away from our sinful way, stubborn way, and we want to turn back to honor God as God. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your salvation, that you know we will be in this such a mess when we are in sin. And we ask that you come and save us. Help us to put you as God and help to clear our mind so that it's no longer in futility, no longer darkened. Help us to honor you as God so that we do not think ourselves being wise, but in reality are a fool, that we will seek your wisdom and do not worship anything less than God. And we ask you to continue to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. We've had a good morning today. I've enjoyed it, so I hope.